All right, look out. He is here. He's made it, and he's ready for another Big Health Naturally. Dennis Stewart, g'day.
Hello, Mark. How are you, my friend?
Look, I'm not too bad. We've had our therapy session before we start.
We better not take it up, though.
We won't. Look, but what we will be taking up today, Dennis, is kind of that theme that you've been on for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Resisting the wintertime conditions with warming foods such as the Chinese chicken soup.
And look, I said it last week and I'll say it again. That created a storm of interest. I'm a bit surprised because I thought most people would have heard of it or known something of it. But the famous chicken soup, which actually saved the life of my dear friend as he was climbing the Himalayas, is well known as a remedy that has almost magical powers, although there is somewhat of a chemical explanation as to how the frame of the chicken.
I don't spoil the mystique. Magical powers. Let's stay there.
So it's something that I would repeat again. It's a great food to think about brewing easily and cheaply for wintertime. It's a good start and it's great medicine if you're going down with anything.
And just in time for lunchtime as well, Dennis.
Well, why not?
Let's say. I've actually, Dennis, I've been put on your nice list. No, I'm not in the naughty corner because I was drinking my ginger herbal infusion, and that's kind of inspired your topic. You've given me the okay because I'm on the ginger.
You're learning. You've been helping me with this program for many years. Finally, it's twigged. You're using a bit of your herbal information.
Yeah, Dennis comes in and goes, well, what can we talk about as an incidental topic? Oh, ginger. But look, you want to get the virtues of it.
I said in the break that it plays a particularly important role in Chinese medicine, particularly Chinese medicine. And I was going over it again this morning. We looked at the chicken soup situation in which there is necessarily ginger placed. But ginger plays a role because in cold countries and in cold seasons, the respiratory system becomes a particular target of infection. And the byproduct of that can be considerable congestion, mucousy type conditions. And some people that already are battling respiratory conditions, those that have a chronic bronchitis, bronchiectasis, and whose chest or respiratory system becomes the first system to experience distress in an infection, they can do wonders if they take on board what the Chinese and Asian people have known for many, many centuries, that the regular ongoing use of ginger, either as a ginger tea, and I emphasise that because people say, oh, well, I don't know how to cook with ginger. Ginger tea is a good way of harnessing the medicinal properties of ginger. What does ginger do? In medical or technical terms, it's known as a bronchomucolytic agent.
Now, not trying to spell that. I was going to say that.
There's a little hint there for anyone that's done a bit of medicine, and what that means is that it tends to bring about a breakdown in a thick mucus, particularly in the respiratory system. And that is an important thing because what it leads to is an effect on the lung, which even though the lung is maybe inflamed and is producing mucus as a result, by using ginger in particular, that will lead to less stagnant congestion in the chest and lead to its easy expectoration. Ginger is a warming herb, which the English herbalist Simon Mills wrote of in his book, The Dictionary of Modern Herbalism, that it particularly targets the lung, the respiratory system. It has a warming effect, which in Chinese medicine essentially means that it benefits from all the natural immune stimulus that ginger brings to the lung as a warming herb, helping to decongest, helping to stop, if you like, stagnancy in the respiratory system, and helps, therefore, to lessen the likelihood of complications occurring in wintertime for people that easily go down with viral or more serious infections that could implicate their respiratory system. The use, the regular ongoing, I would suggest, in wintertime, the regular, ongoing, daily use of the herb ginger in some form, taken as a tea, as you obviously do, Mark, hence your great health, that the regular ongoing use of ginger in any form, particularly in this season, can get the benefits that Asian people know of, the benefits of ginger, amongst other things, as being a specific herb to maintain the healthy functioning and the resistance to congestion in the lung.
Gee, likes to have a crack, don't you?
I do indeed. I know a bit about ginger. I've lectured on it many, many times. You know, there's a bit of a theory too, Mark. I'll say something controversial here. Probably I say too much.
That's better you than me. It's usually me.
Less as I've got older. But if you go to Asia, we were in Japan a number of years ago, and people seem to smoke there a lot more than what they do in our country. People tend to be predisposed more. Perhaps I'm speaking a little bit datedly here. One of the theories is the reason why it has been put forward that Asian people, despite a predilection for more smoking than what we Westerners do, one of the reasons that they are considered to be free, relatively speaking, of some of the respiratory conditions that we experience is that ginger assists the lung to resist some of the challenges that smoking has on the respiratory system. Hence, the incidence of bronchitis, respiratory symptoms, are arguably less or become less complicated. So it is in the paper that I read from the World Health Organization. So this is put forward that these bronchomucolytic and bronchomucotropic properties of ginger explain the relatively better health of some Asian people based on their regular ongoing of the warming immunosupportive properties of the remarkable herb ginger.
You have done Mary at Budgiewoy. Good afternoon, Mary. How can Dennis help you there?
Yeah, hi, Dennis. How are you?
Mary, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Good,
good. I'm after rutin.
Yes.
I can't find it anywhere. All I can get is vitamin C port with a bit of rutin in it.
Look, I'm surprised about that because I actually use rutin in my practice. Rutin, R-U-T-I-N.
I had a look on your website, yeah, and yeah. I couldn't find it.
Okay. Look, rutin should be readily available in a good health food store or a pharmacy because it's an isolate from many foods. Buckwheat.
Yeah.
Buckwheat is probably the most, well, one of the most common foods that contains this flavonoid, rutin, R-U-T-I-N. But if you are using it for a therapeutic purpose, it's like other supplements that we use. It's best to use rutin in a concentrated dose form as a capsule, particularly as a capsule. And I'm surprised that you can't locate it because
I can get vitamin C4, that's only got a little bit.
Look, all I can say is the best thing to do, if you can't get it from your local pharmacy, and I'm sure he must be able to source it for you, or your good health food store, if you can't ring my rooms, and I'll give you a couple of addresses from which you can locate it. I'm glad you're thinking of rutin because I think it's a very underrated supplement, particularly for a tendency for bruising. It's very effective.
All I have to do is look at the wall and I'm bruised.
Yeah, are you on a blood-thinning medication?
Yeah, and I've had a blood test done. There's nothing wrong, so I just bruise really easily.
Okay. Well, rutin is a very safe substance because it's essentially an extract from many foods, a buckwheat being a common one. But look, do what I've said. If you have problems, I'm happy to give you information. Not in any way at all to direct you to my business, but to tell you where you should be able to get it, either online or locally. Rutin is a supplement, usually coming in a capsule or a tableted form.
Thank you so much for that, Mary. 49216216 is the number to call Dennis Stewart as the healing rooms come into vogue once again, Dennis.
Oh, that's lovely.
Helping
that's
people.
Great. That's great terminology, Mark. I'm very impressed.
I wonder where I got that from. In the meanwhile, Dennis has something for you. I know, Dennis, you've been talking again a lot about these wintertime conditions. And in terms of supplements or herbs, which are some of the ones that you would be directing people to have a bit of a look at?
Look, every year I sort of touch on this topic. There are a few simple, inexpensive supplements that have stood the test of time as being useful to resist some of the complications that come with the, particularly the viruses that we experience at the beginning of winter. The first thing I want to emphasise is that despite the lingering scepticism about the value of vitamin C as a protective device, I believe it is, as Linus Pauling said many years ago, a significant agent in helping boost one's immunity and therefore help the fight against infection. And so again, I say to people, vitamin C, which is an inexpensive, easily available supplement, should particularly at this time of the year, but perhaps all the time of the year, be taken as a daily supplement. I actually take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C daily and have done for a long time. Now, I'm not boasting, but...
It'd be a strange thing to boast about, wouldn't
it? It is. But it is... look, in my opinion, it's almost unnecessary. That's an opinion. I don't want to be shot down by my medical colleagues, but I emphasise that a recommendation as to an elevated regular intake of vitamin C has some significant ability to lessen infection activity and help fight infection. So, principle number one, go to your supermarket, your health food store, your pharmacy, get hold of vitamin C. I take 1,000, but you might not need to do that. A high dose, I believe, has some value in it. It wouldn't take much more than that. The other thing about it is there's a very, very, very popular supplement that has been used for generations and people still swear by it. It's not mentioned as much as it should be. And we talk about the horseradish and garlic combination. Now, that's a gem. The number of patients that I've seen over the years, when I ask them what medication they might be taking, natural or pharmaceutical, a large percentage of them would say that they have taken or they take the regular dosage, if you like, of a very economically priced supplement known as horseradish and garlic. Now, this is important to understand that there is a degree of evidence to support the claims of this combination. Horseradish is an interesting agent. It is very pungent, albeit in a tablet or capsule form, it's easily taken. But the clearing effect that it has on the nasal passages, on the upper respiratory tract, comes from the pungency, the essential oil component of horseradish. Horseradish also, interestingly, has some mild but useful natural antibody characteristics. There is no need to elaborate on the known virtues of the herb garlic. Probably the most universally used herb as a food and a medicine. And still in this country, in my opinion, we underuse it and fail to appreciate the reputation and record that it has as a useful antimicrobial agent to assist the body in fighting infection. So with vitamin C, get some horseradish and garlic. Again, a cheap supplement. These are not expensive things, but very, very useful, in my opinion, to support vitamin C as a simple, ongoing supplement routine to get us through winter, perhaps in a less complicated way.
I think we prefer the term economical over cheap, Dennis, just saying.
Oh, I'm a working class kid, mate. Come on. I went to university late in life.
G'day, Michael at Carrington. Michael, you have a question on ulcers for Dennis today. What's going on?
Yeah, yes, Dennis. Look, my partner was diagnosed with cancer in the neck.
Yes.
And it was picked up by accident by an immunologist. He noticed a small swelling. And he got a scan and it showed up and he got it virtually in to see her at the hospital there virtually within a day. And,
great.
She had didn't just have a normal radiation. She had radical radiation.
Yes.
And she had two of three chemos. Yeah, she couldn't tolerate anymore. But anyway, she got the all clear.
Good.
But she has no saliva and no taste.
Yes.
And at the moment, she's got a mouthful of ulcers.
Oh, dear.
The doctor's given her two lots of antibiotics. We've tried everything. But another doctor said, you probably won't get your saliva back because it'd be shot to pieces.
Yes.
Nothing. We've tried everything for to try and get rid of these ulcers. At the moment, she's living on P&M soup that I make.
Good.
I put plenty of vegetables in there, about 20 cloves of garlic.
Great.
And she doesn't care. She can. It's the only thing she can eat.
Okay.
So we're having it every night of the week.
So she struggles with mouth ulcers.
Yeah, at the moment the doctor's just given her another dose of antibiotics and she's finished. But her mouth's that sore, she can't swallow.
Dear soul. Look, what I would suggest is, and you must run this past her doctor, but there's some good information here that might help her. The herb myrrh, 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 there's a preparation of it called tincture, T-I-N-C-T-U-R-E, tincture of myrrh. That is a specific remedy in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia for addressing mouth ulcers. Now, it's very effective too. However, in her case, it would have to be prescribed, by the way, from a compounding pharmacist or a pharmacist around there that stocks tincture of myrrh. And there are some in Newcastle that stock it. A pharmacist with tincture of myrrh prescribing it as an oral preparation, a mouthwash, is effective in many cases to help the ulcer heal. But you must get permission and a nod to use it, because I'm talking here about an uncomplicated case of mouth ulcers. This is quite different, and therefore it should only be utilised with pharmacy or medical concurrence. Secondly, however, and perhaps in a less complicated way, the herb licorice. Licorice is in a liquid form. We're not talking about it as a confectionery, but as a liquid form, is one of the most soothing and anti-inflammatory agents, with a history of helping to soothe ulcerated conditions of the mouth and even the throat. Very easily taken, not unpleasant, soothing, in fact, just by having it in the mouth, it has a soothing effect. I would be suggesting that is perhaps a good starting base with the licorice extract. What might be useful also is to get some of the so-called Manuka honey. Now, Manuka honey is being used, I have been told and read something about this in the magazines, that it's being used in some hospitals in the UK as an agent to promote healing and lessen inflammation when there has been serious throat surgery carried out. I would suggest that you mention to your pharmacy or to your doctor first that liquid licorice, which is easily and readily available from a pharmacist or a herbalist, into which you blend a significant amount of Manuka honey, that is an agent to be used and to use the simple term swished around the mouth as a mouthwash, might have some soothing effect that encourages healing. Tincture of myrrh or that use of licorice with a little bit of Manuka honey, albeit be cautious when you are using licorice. If one uses too much of it, it can have somewhat of an effect on blood pressure and perhaps elsewhere. But there are two ways of trying to help this dear lady and pass it by those that are managing her.
Okay, thank you. Apparently they're pretty common, the ulcers, because I know a lady that's 12 months.
Yes.
Down the track from having the treatment, and she still has ulcers.
Well, tincture of myrrh, I might be overstating it here, but I have not seen any herb work as well as that old-fashioned combination known as tincture of myrrh. If you Google tincture of myrrh in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia of 1983, you'll get the information there that will support what I have said. But again, I would prefer it and almost insist that if you were to use it, get the nod of your pharmacy or good doctor so that it can be administered properly and results monitored.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, all the best for all of that, Michael. And still a couple of minutes left, Dennis. I think you'll be happy to take another couple of calls.
Oh, yes. We'll move through this little list of what I call a recommended list of supplements. Not expensive. I didn't say the word cheap then.
No. We're heading to Rayworth, and good afternoon to you, Victoria. Dennis has got you right now.
Oh, thank you. Dennis,
yes.
I was wondering if you could help me recommend a supplement. I suffer from spondylitis.
Okay.
Which is a problem. My father had it and passed it on to me, and I carry the gene, unfortunately.
Oh, dear. Are you being treated for it presently, Victoria?
I'm about to start treatment in the next few weeks, actually.
And what treatment are you going to?
Just with a physio and what have you.
Okay. So you're in a fair amount of pain, aren't you?
I take Panadol Osteo a couple of times a day.
Okay. Look, a few suggestions.
Yes.
And again, one can't guarantee it because this is not an easy condition to manage.
No.
But
yeah.
What I would suggest is you build a treatment round glucosamine, which you can easily get from up your way. Glucosamine,
yes.
Chondroitin.
Yes. Chondroitin.
Yes, and you can get preparations that combine glucosamine and chondroitin.
Mm-hmm.
But also...
Yes.
Based on the work that has been done in the UK by one clinic in particular, the New Zealand green lip mussel has shown some benefit in addressing this particular problem.
Right.
So I would build a treatment around those three readily available and, again, economically priced supplements as oral medication. If you are in a discomfort and you want to get some relief from a natural spectrum, don't forget the role of turmeric-based products, curcumin being the extract from turmeric. And
right.
I use also, believe it or not, the oldest natural anti-inflammatory, the willow bark.
Oh, right.
Many of my patients would vouch for my prescribing those preparations to them in an encapsulated form. They give a significant amount of relief from the inflammation and pain derived from it. The other substances tend to be a bit more reparative, a bit more nutritionally based, and a bit more support given to the actual structure. If you were to go down that pathway, again, I'm sure your physio would understand. It could, I would contend that it could work very well with the physiotherapist you're going to have. You give it a go. Again, I come back to the point, these things are not expensive. I know many natural things these days, unfortunately, are expensive, and I have a viewpoint as to why that has happened. I'll not elaborate on it, otherwise I'll get into trouble. But those things are not expensive, and I know you would be able to get them up around there. Give it a go.
All right, best of luck with everything for you, Victoria. Who will be our last one today is Darren of Belbert. Darren, how can Dennis help you out there today, mate?
Yes, I'm just inquiring about methylene blue, medical grade 1%. And that I'm wondering if it is good for you or it's not. I've read some more data. I have been taking it. I find that it gives you more energy during the day, all that sort of thing, but it can stain the brain and other arteries and body parts and if it is really good or not.
Darren, I'll be blunt with you. I'm not a bad herbalist, but this is out of my ballpark. I know very little about it. It's not something that I would recommend, and that's based on my ignorance of it. If you were to take anything, do your research. go to Google and find out the potential benefits and the potential downside to it. Unless your doctor has prescribed it, I would be cautious, put it that way.
All right, best of luck with everything there, Darren from Melbourne, who indeed, Dennis, is our last caller for today. So you've made it through another
week.
How
about that? How about that? I'm putting up with you.
All right. It'll happen again if you're unlucky. Mate, it's always a pleasure, and we'll look forward to seeing what you have for us next week for another Health Naturally.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.